So, I don't think my mic's on. I have this way of destroying microphones wherever I go. I don't know if it's my electric personality or what it is, but it's become unattached and I don't know how to put it back together. So, I will be as loud as I can. And if you can't hear me and you really want to hear me, you can be very un-Episcopalian and move up to the front. That would be something you'd try. You can tell by listening to me, I'm not from around here. I went back to Arkansas and Texas for Christmas, and I brush up on my accent while I'm there. So, and there's a saying back in Texas. You hear it there a lot, all hat and no cattle. There are various definitions out there, I'm sure, but basically all hat and no cattle is the description of a person that is all talk and no substance. Full of big talk but lacking action. A person who cannot back up his or her words. A fake. A pretender. Originally used in reference to people imitating the fashion or style of cowboys, for people who wore the hats but had no experience on the ranch. Thus, all hat, no cattle. Similar to talking the talk without walking the walk, which was originally used in reference to wannabe gunslingers. You might think of it this way. If somebody says, Roger says he's a great cook, but he sliced his thumb off trying to peel a potato. He's all hat, no cattle. I'm a scuba diver, a dive master actually, and I can usually spot the people that have more money than sense. They have the latest dive computers, wetsuits, all the right equipment, but clearly do not have a clue about how to put the regulator in their mouth. They usually hold up the whole boat and destroy the reef as they crash to the floor beneath. All hat, no cattle. This Sunday, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, is one of my favorites of the year. And more importantly, the Sunday we commemorate the baptism of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our gospel today, reminding us of that event when Jesus was baptized. Some might wonder why he would need to be. I mean, he is the Son of God and all. He is our Savior, so why would he need to do it? I used to dance around that question a bit, but now my answer is, because he had to. He had to. Being fully human means not just saying or knowing, but some doing too. It means the ability to walk in the grace bestowed upon us by our God, knowing ourselves forgiven, redeemed, but also knowing ourselves to be called. One of our priests in this diocese, Sam Torvin, has written a book called Flowing Water, Uncommon Birth. And he writes about Christian baptism and its meaning, and he puts it this way, grace with challenge. Grace with challenge. We need both. Grace is there, but the challenge is also, and far too often we have ceded over that part, the challenge part, in an effort to live into the wonderfully graceful inclusion offered in God's gift to us. But we are human, and Jesus knew it. My point today is, as Christians, sometimes we're all hat and no cattle. We take the grace and relinquish the challenge. And so this day, when we commemorate and remember our own baptism, and we will confirm two who are going to confirm their baptisms, I think it's good that we be reminded of the second part, the challenge part. I am one, and you might disagree, that believes in Christianity. And as Christians, we are called to be proficient to our abilities. We are to utilize the skills, wisdom, smarts, brains, heart that God gave each of us to be proficient Christians. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, put it thusly in his Christmas Eve sermon several years ago. He said, very near the heart of Christian faith and practice is this encounter with God's question, who are you? Where are you? Are you on the side of the life that lives in Jesus? The life of grace and truth, of unstinting generosity and unsparing honesty, the only life that gives life to others? Or are you on your own side? On the side of disconnection, rivalry, the hoarding of gifts, the obsession with control? What we say or do in our response to Jesus is our way of discovering for ourselves and showing to one another what is real in and for us. The truth is still an uncompromising one. If you cannot or will not respond, you are walking away from reality in a realm of trackless, fog-bound falsehood. In other words, all hat, no cattle. Christian baptism makes one a disciple of Jesus. Who would argue with this claim? But the implication of the claim is quite significant. There could be no other competing loyalty that is more important than one's fundamental identity as a Christian. No other person or nation, idea, or practice in which the Christian places his or her ultimate trust. No conforming of the gospel of Jesus Christ into a palatable dish easily consumed by one's current culture. Christian baptism cannot be just one more identity marker, one more layer of clothing added to one's political, ethnic, economic, and educational wardrobe. It could not be about leaving secular life for an hour or so on Sunday to be reminded that one's sins are forgiven or that one is loved by God, and then returning to one's ordinary life relatively unchanged. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called it cheap grace. The proclamation of beloved words, grace, forgiveness, mercy, inclusion, without the following of Jesus Christ and without the enactment of those words in daily life. You might call that all hat and no cattle. To answer that you're on the side of life doesn't mean for a moment that you can now relax into a fuzzy philosophy of life-affirming comfort. On the contrary, it means you're willing to face everything within you that is cheap, fearful, untruthful, and evasive, and to let the light shine in. I ask before every visitation that those being confirmed or received or baptized or reaffirming their faith send me a letter. And I'm asking one basic question: why? Why are you doing this? What difference will it make in your life and the life of the world? And I get some amazing stories. And I can tell when I get them that people get it. I once had a young man tell me in this letter of his love for backpacking and how he would often say, "The trail will provide." And in fact, he found that to be more true more often than not. The trail and the master of it will provide, but the truth still remains. We have to be on the trail. We have to be moving down it. We have to take steps to walk it. Walk into the wilderness. If we don't, we're all hat and no cattle. This day, when we renew our baptismal vows, when we see and witness to confirm theirs, there is much expected of us in this call. We have to not just verbally assent to this faith, we have to live it. We get the grace, but we have to take that with the challenge too, so that no one witnessing our lives would be tempted to say, "They're all hat and no cattle." What God says to Jesus when he comes out of the Jordan, God says to us all, "You are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased." Let's leave here and live with all the power and gravity that declaration bears, and like we truly believe it. My sisters and brothers, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.